reading from Habakkuk and chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and simply the first three verses, where the prophet says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. This morning we are speaking about rock-solid confidence. How very limited that is in supply in our world, and even among believers, that there can be rock-solid confidence. Habakkuk, his name comes from a Hebrew word meaning to embrace, and he certainly did embrace God by faith when his own sight and perception would throw him aside and throw him in a different direction. Habakkuk differs from the other minor prophets we have been considering in that here we overhear a conversation that is taking place between the prophet and God. And as you read through this brief book, you are constantly going back and forth, one side of the conversation and the other. The poetry is very rich, and we are the beneficiaries of that. Habakkuk, he asks the question, how long? That is where he starts off in chapter 1 and verse 2. Have you ever wondered or considered, why is it that the wicked prosper? Here we have from 2600 plus years ago, that very same question coming along. And Habakkuk, he is saying, Lord, are you not paying attention to what is going on here? How long? Why are you not acting? Why do the wicked prosper? Will you not hear? I cry out to you, Habakkuk says, violence, yet you do not save. But God does have an answer for Habakkuk. The back and forth is a little bit like what we see in Job, how that Job there is struggling with the evil that presents itself in this world. Some have asked the question, why do good people suffer? Why do God's people suffer? Why do God's people struggle? Job is the account of a good man becoming a better man. And here, Habakkuk is the account of one who has faith in God, growing in that faith and in that confidence. And that can be for you as well. But Habakkuk, he asks his question of the Lord, why is all of this happening? Verse 6, God says to Habakkuk, Behold, I am not ignorant or blind or deaf. I know perfectly well what is going on, and I have a plan of action. It may not be according to your timetable or according to anyone else's timetable, but I am acting. And God says that he is raising up the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, who did come, and they were the ones to judge his people. But there were also other prophets who had a tremendous problem with this. As Habakkuk voices it, he says, God, these people all around me are wicked, but those Babylonians, those foreigners, they are even more debased than the people who are here. How can you do this? How can you do that? They are wicked. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Your eyes, he is addressing this to God, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Habakkuk is saying to God, he is saying, how can you take an instrument in your hand which is so vile, such as the proud and arrogant Babylonians, in order to address what I see about me? God has an answer again for Habakkuk and for us. They shall be judged in turn. God will not turn a blind eye to arrogant pride. And we read here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 16. He is speaking of those who he has used as an instrument of judgment. But he turns to the instrument and he says, you will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Those who vaunted themselves and puffed themselves up, thinking themselves to be such mighty conquerors, worthy of honor, God says, you will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you. The Jews would have drunk of that cup of judgment, but Habakkuk is being told God is going to fulfill every step in the process. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. The vastness of the Babylonian Empire, the excellence of Babylon itself, and all of the nations that would pour into it, all of the glory that would be gathered there, the gold, the treasures from so many different lands, all of the glory, it would be turned to disgrace because they would not be able to hold on to that. That which had vaunted them up, that which had raised them to such an arrogant position, God was going to deal with them as God has surely dealt with other nations and empires in turn. Habakkuk was a man in a time so much like ours. I know I've said that before when we've come to other portions of Scripture. I recall when we were making our way through Daniel and we were learning how it is to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. Daniel was one who served amid desperately difficult times. He served foreign powers. He served those who were godless, but yet we see in Daniel himself sterling character. We see in him an unbending without compromise to stand tall in the midst of hideous wickedness. And we have gone to other portions of God's word, and I don't say it lightly that here Habakkuk also is a man who can speak with power to our times when we are facing an onslaught of wickedness, when laws are being rewritten, when cultural norms are being twisted and changed, and when we are wondering what has happened to not just our city and province and nation, but in fact the whole world is in a mad rush in a direction away from God. Habakkuk was a man in a time so very much like ours. We want to ask the question, how long, Lord? How much is going to go counter to your word and to your principles? And we, in our hearts, if not with our voices, we cry out and we say, how long, Lord? Are you not paying attention? Why are you not acting? Why are the wicked prospering in such a degree as they do? God's response would surely be, even as it was to Habakkuk, he is not blind, he is not deaf, all of his senses are working perfectly well. He sees what is taking place in this world, and he has a plan of action. God may, in fact, use greater wickedness to judge that which seems less wicked, but each one in turn shall receive judgment. How do we live in the middle of such a time? The verses that I read at the start, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, Habakkuk, in the middle of this dialogue that's going back and forth, he says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, just as a trooper, as a soldier who is called to duty and to take up a certain position. He says, that is where I will be found. I will not be found cowering. I will not be found hiding. I will not be found shirking my duty. But I will stand where I have been appointed. And he says, I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Habakkuk is saying, ears open, eyes open, at our post, and confident that God is going to be the one who is going to come and to speak, and speak he does, even as he was at his post. We remember Thomas, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he was not found among the disciples on that time when they gathered. How sad for Thomas that he was not there, gathered with God's people. Whatever else he was doing must have seemed awfully important. But it's good for us to be where we ought to be when God's people gather. Verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets. Now, it's been a long time since I've inscribed anything on a tablet, and probably you too. We take pen and paper, or we go to our computer and we type things in and it is there. But here is something that Habakkuk is to do with a great permanence, because it was something that was to last. It was something that was to be there for generations and centuries to come. Did they not have parchment? Did they not have vellum on which they could write? Of course they did. But here God is saying, I want you to etch this. I want you to chisel it out. I want you to inscribe it so that the one who reads it may run. And God is saying, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. Habakkuk is saying, I would like to have it now, please. But God is saying, it shall come in the appointed day and in the appointed hour. It shall come. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. It will not fail. We're talking about confidence, and God's word shall not fail. God's actions are for the specifically appointed time. And God says, though it tarries, wait for it. It is coming as sure as anything shall come. It certainly will come. It will not delay beyond the appointed time. If you are acquainted with Habakkuk, you may wonder why I did not especially highlight verse 4, which comes to us in Romans and in Galatians from the hand of Paul. Habakkuk says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him." Especially the focus is upon the Babylonians. But whoever is proud, whoever is arrogant, whoever is lifted up against the Lord, this addresses them. Habakkuk says, but the just will live by his faith. How is it that we live? It is that we live by faith. We do not live by the strength of our hand. We do not live by the strength or by the mental capacity that any one of us has. We do not even live by the connections which we have made in the wider world. These things will fall and they will fail. But here, Habakkuk, he is dealing with growing in faith. He is dealing with putting down deeper roots, and that the tree, that the branches might be larger and enlarged, that there might be this confidence, that there might be that faith and trust. He is saying the righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk, you're wondering, what's going on in the world? Why do the wicked prosper? Why is God so slow? God is saying, Habakkuk, the one who is righteous, the one who is just, the one who is in that proper position before me, they will live by faith. That is how they will move forward. Verse 14. Verse 14, God says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And verse 20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God is saying, these are the things which shall prosper. These are the things which will hold the world steady. And especially, Habakkuk, your world. That world which seems to be topsy-turvy, which seems to be coming unglued, that is the world that will hold steady. Chapter 3 is now a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Here the prophet, he has a tender heart. He is unlike Jonah when we came to him and we saw him preaching with a stony heart. Here the prophet Habakkuk, he is pleading with the Lord. He has heard what God has to say to him, and he has taken that to heart. And now he turns back to the Lord and he says, Lord, I've heard the report about you and I fear. Habakkuk was in a right relationship with God, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and certainly Habakkuk was abounding in wisdom. I heard the report about you and I fear. It's a good response that we not come in a plucked up manner before God, but that we come in a humble manner before him. But Habakkuk, he comes with this request, revive your work in the very midst of the years. We know what you have done in days gone by. We know how that you, with a mighty hand, brought your people out of Egypt, having made promises to the patriarchs centuries before. We know that you have done great things. But Lord, we also know that in the midst of the years, we have become careless, we have become calloused, we have become not what we ought to be. Lord, would you stoke the fires within our hearts? Would you stoke the fires that we might be all that you would desire us to be? In the midst of the years, make it known. What is it? Certainly the glory of God, even as we read in chapter 2 and verse 14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. May it be known throughout our nation that God is a great God, a merciful God, who relents of calamity and who delights to extend his grace. And Habakkuk says, in wrath, remember mercy. But whatever God exactly chooses to do, whatever our world chooses to do, we can live in confidence. As the Apostle Paul repeatedly said as he wrote his letters, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. We think of three people through the Scriptures who were out on the water in the midst of storm. We think of Jonah, and we think of Jesus, and we think of Paul, each in a storm. And Jonah, you remember that Jonah, when he was asked by the others on board that ship in the midst of that storm where they were sure they were going down for the last time, they asked him, who are you? And he said, I am a servant of the Lord God. He knew, he remembered whose he was. Jesus, you remember when he was in the boat with his disciples and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, much smaller, of course, than the Mediterranean Sea, but if you're out in the middle of it and the storm is pushing you this way and that, doesn't matter if it's a smaller body of water, you can drown there too. Jesus asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat, and his disciples, they come to him and they say, Master, do you not care that we perish? These men remembered who it was who was in the boat with them. Paul also on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, as he was making his way in Acts chapter 27 towards Rome, he is caught along with all others on that ship. He is caught in the midst of a storm. He had told them, we should not set out. But in the midst of the storm, he comes to them and he says, I am a servant of the Lord. And he says, my master has spoken to me that not one of us will perish. We will lose the ship, but we will all make it safely to shore. Each in the midst of a storm, but they kept their heads about them. They remembered to whom they belonged. It's good for us, too, to remember to whom we belong in the midst of the storm and to have confidence. The final verses of Habakkuk are these, beginning in verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. It's good for us to realize who the Lord is, who we address. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no fruit food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, Habakkuk says, yet, I will exult in the Lord. When everything is going backwards or sideways or downhill, he says, yet in the midst of all of this, I will rejoice, I will exult in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Confidence? Where do you find it? You find it in quiet trust in the Lord. Having brought his questions, he received the answers that God was the one who was still in control. And God is still the one in control of your world, my world, our world, and we can rest confidently. Rock solid confidence in him. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that in the midst of all of the battles that go on in our hearts, in our smaller world, our circle of acquaintance, and in the larger world of our nation world, we give you thanks that you are God. You are the one who watches over your own. You are the one who is working out your eternal purposes. You are the one who is demonstrating your glory. You are the one who extends mercy. O Lord, may we have confidence in you, in this, that the just shall live by faith. And as we continue to throw ourselves upon you and surrender ourselves to you, may it be that we grow stronger, ever stronger in our confidence, in our faith, that we are not alone, we are not forgotten, but that you care for us. I pray for any man or woman who is especially today facing a battle, facing a storm. They are really feeling they're perhaps going down for the last time. May you speak peace to that life. May they have such confidence knowing that you are the one who is holding them in the very palm of your hand. And may they go forth rejoicing with radiant faces, exulting in you, knowing that whatever does happen, they are yours and yours alone. So, Lord, cause hearts to rejoice. Even so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.